Well, what a blessing to be with you guys again. You know, it's a joy for Elaine and I to come up and to just be able to share the word, because we felt for a long time the Lord's got his hand on Gabriella here, and he's really moving, and things are happening, and it's exciting, you know, even coming up at the end of your kids' club and seeing the dynamic aspects, and by the way, hearing those great worship songs are good. They're really quite neat. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is moving with the Lord, moving forward, and as Chris was saying, taking everything he's got for us. And I'd just like to open with a prayer, if you could join me in a prayer. So, Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you would lead this teaching. Lord, that you would open our hearts to hear with our heart, not just to hear with our ears and to let things pass us by, but Lord, that it would light upon us and it would touch us and it would change us and transform us into the people that you have called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when Elaine and I and the team were here last time and we did the weekend retreat, it was such a dynamic, exciting time, wasn't it? As some of you guys were here, and we saw the Holy Spirit move, and we met the Lord in a personal way. You began to see that experiencing his transforming grace. And basically, it was all about the flow of prayer, of prayer ministry, of inner healing, as we call it. You know, one of the greatest needs we have as humans is the need for love and acceptance, and to know who we truly are. You know, we may know about the unconditional love of Jesus Christ, yet we still struggle to believe it and feel it and accept it as true for us due to the brokenness of our life and our walk in it. And, you know, one of the greatest descriptions of this is in James's, the Apostle James's letter. And he wrote this, and you'll find it in James 1, verses 22 to 25. He said, "Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, continuing to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does." And I felt the Lord really taking me to that scripture time and time again, because basically, you know, it's not like mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? You know, we like to do that, don't we? So we look in the mirror and say, who's the fairest of all? Well, let's see, Bob, he's the top, and you're 25th, and Jim, but you're a bit better than Jim, he's farther down the thing. And so we start looking at rating ourselves in relationship to other people. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, when we compare ourselves to ourselves, we're not wise. So, you know, sadly, we're in a culture that the media is doing that all the time. We get this beauty contest. Who's the top? Who's the bottom? Who's did this bad thing? And so on. But the reality of what James is saying to us is that we have an identity, and it's not relative. Amen? It's not relative. It doesn't go up and down like a roller coaster. And if we concentrate on that, and if we get that in our heart, our true identity in Christ, then basically we get that secure. We won't be like someone who forgets it, because this passage has got two great promises: freedom and being blessed. Now, who doesn't want to have freedom and be blessed in whatever you do? If anyone shakes their head, let me know. We'll have some prayer time. But anyway, the reality is that God wants us to be secure in our identity. And once we're secure in our identity, we are not shaken. and we don't drift around. And sadly, we're in a culture that is all related to identity. That's what we Twitter about and do Facebook about, and we're always comparing. But God wants us to do something very secure, because our identity is secure and fundamental and fixed in Him. We're number one in Christ. So turn to each other and say, I'm number one. Come on. Come on, you're number one. Now, I want to ask you, how many of you looked in the mirror this morning? What did you see? What did you see when you looked in the mirror? And don't tell me you didn't look in the mirror. Okay, you looked in the mirror. You see, we all have a different image of ourselves, but the Lord wants us to be secure in who we really are in Christ, that we're not relative. It's not relative to what we do. It's relative. It's absolute in who we are in Christ. And basically, it's very important to understand, and I just want to review some aspects of the reality of what happened at the cross. And it's interesting, when you read through Scripture, you know, in our prayer time before we started, we had the Scripture from Isaiah 6, came out several times. But that's the time when Isaiah was taken up in a heavenly vision. He went up into the heavenlies, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filled in the temple. He saw these mighty angels flying around and saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And he was terrified, because he said this. He said, "I'm ruined because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." But then what the Lord did, he said, told the seraphim. And they flew and took a live coal from the altar of God, and they took it and they touched his mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has been taken away." There's nothing Isaiah could do, but God did it for him. Amen. God touched him and changed him, and in that he had an incredible encounter with God. It's exciting passages if you read that passage, because the Lord turned around and told him to go forth and spread the, tell the people a strong message. And then another thing comes out in through the prophet Zechariah. You'll find this Zechariah 2. And here in a vision, Zechariah saw the high priest Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. And that's what the enemy does. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this man not a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes, and he stood before the angel. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I'll put fine garments on you." Once again, nothing Joshua could have done would have made him clean, but God did it. And God took off his filthy clothes and clothed them with the white robes of righteousness. And that's what the cross was all about, because that was the transforming power of what happened when Jesus took all the punishment, the guilt, the shame, the sin from us and took it to him on the cross, so we could be free through faith in him. And I know, as Pastor Steve's been taking you through Romans 6, you've been learning about being crucified with Christ. But Jesus did it, and through our faith in him, you are clean. And that's what Jesus said to his apostles just before he went to the cross. And you'll find this in John 13. when he went down and stooped down to wash Peter's feet, Peter said, "No, no, no, you can't do that, Lord." And Jesus rebuked him. And Jesus said this, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean." See what Jesus is saying? We are clean, but we'll walk through a world and get our feet dirty. We are clean by the word. And further, as he was instructing during that Last Supper, he said this, John 15, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." And of course, they believed the word, as we have, and believed in faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and rose from the dead. And that's what happened because, see, Jesus didn't come to make us better. He came to kill us. He came to destroy the old, to transform us and make us and made us a new creation in him. There's a message that he gave us, a truth in that parable, and you can read this parable in different ways, but it's the parable in Matthew 9. And he said, "Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. They pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Amen. So he made us new and poured out his Holy Spirit in us. Amen. Because we were transformed by the power of the cross. And he was going to destroy the old nature and resurrect us then as the new creations in Christ. As we're told in Romans 6, one that Pastor Steve has been sharing with you, "For if we've been united with him in death like this, we'll certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." And as Paul said to the Galatians church, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." What a truth. Do you believe that? You believe you've been crucified with Christ and you no longer live, but he lives in you? Jesus needed to destroy the old to create the new. Our old self, burdened with guilt and shame, crucified with Christ and raised up. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation is gone, the old has gone. The new creation has come. The new is here. So where are all the guilt and shame? Nailed to the cross. Unfortunately, how come we don't feel like that? Why don't we accept that identity? Why don't we accept who we are? And that is the whole process that the Lord wants to bring us to. Because many of us have done something in life or had something done to us that we're terribly ashamed of, and we begin to wear it as an identity, and we forget who we are in Christ, and we begin to take on that false identity. It becomes like a garment, something we put on, and no matter how hard we try, we can't seem to get rid of that old identity. It's like it's hanging on from us. I like the way Pastor Steve was saying, it's like creepy hands coming out of the grave, grabbing on to you, pulling you back. Spooky. But it's sort of like that. Our minds drift back to the old incidences. And whenever it does, we can feel the shame, the guilt, the embarrassment all over again. Now, what causes that remnant in us? It is the old creation. And I wanted to share with you some very interesting imagery that Dr. Caroline Leaf shared. She's a neurophysiologist, a wonderful Christian lady, who studied actually the physical workings of the brain. And I think as you hear this, you begin to understand a little bit clearer about how we carry a remnant of things from the past, even though we've received the Lord. She researched in how the brain works, and she said there's 100 billion nerve cells in the brain, and each of these things can grow 100 branches. And in that thing, when we have memories, they're actually complex physical structures in your brain. They actually have a real estate, as she said. They have a physical location in your mind. They actually occur. And it's the interaction of the electrochemical and together in a very complex way that God made us, and it forms this funny complex. In imagery, these memory centers appear like trees. They have a long stalk and they have a flowery top and they look like a bush, literally. They're called, actually the neuroscientists call it magic trees. They look like trees in your mind. And whenever you have access to that memory, that center stimulates things, chemicals, enzymes, and things in your body. And you feel good, you feel joy. Each of you, if you went back right now and thought of a happy memory, you'll suddenly feel good. It'll bring joy to you. And it may be triggered off by a song or something. Something will give you some joy. Sadly, however, when we experience brokenness in life, through trauma or abuse, ridicule or control, those memories become very painful. And when they're touched, they evoke very negative, painful. And they also cause reactions in our body. And her research has shown, instead of looking like nice bushy trees, guess what they look like? They become knobbled and gnarled, and they look like thorn bushes. So in each of us, we have a forest of nice-looking trees and some thorn bushes. And now, the most wonderful thing is that the thorn bushes can be transformed. They can be changed, and she's shown this. Like, these things stay in your brain as long as those memories are there. So, you know, this was interesting to me because you think of memories as something ephemeral, but actually they're physical. It's hard to believe, isn't it? They're actual physical sites. Now, those bad sites, those toxic sites, as she called it, can be transformed. And this is the interesting thing, because as time goes by, in the Lord, we can address that and they can be changed. You know, the sad thing about these thorn bushes is they stay there through our life unless they're dealt with. They don't just disappear. That's why, and we have an enemy who loves to stimulate those thorn bushes. Amen? Anyone can testify to that? You're going along feeling great, the world's wonderful, the birds are singing, the sun is shining, and suddenly a memory will come in your heart and you say, "Ah, remember when you did that? Ah, or remember when so-and-so did that to you?" And boom, it's a downer. Do you ever have those things? You're flying along pretty good, and then it's real down in the pit. You're sort of way up here, and then you're down in the pit. So the Lord has made a beautiful way that we don't have to carry that shame and guilt, because His cross took care of that, okay? So we have a way to do it, and one way is really the most powerful way is forgiving. Forgiving. See, the Lord made our brains that they're called neuroplastic, in other words, plastic, and it can change. And what happens as we bring the power of the Lord into our lives, those areas will be transformed, and bit by bit, the thorn bushes turn back to normal bushes. Isn't that great? She's actually got imagery showing that, where a person's been through trauma and then through healing has come into a new place. And it affects their whole being, because those toxic sites affect the rest of your body physically and mentally. And basically, what Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. And this truth that he gave us in Romans 12:2, don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't conform any longer to the stinking way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know to be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Isn't that a beautiful truth? That there's a way that we don't have to get locked into that old way, or allow that. You ever really get irritated by someone and after a while you say, they're in my head? You ever found that? You keep thinking about them, and no matter what you do, you keep thinking, they're in my head. I can't get them out of my head. You know what? That's literally true. They're actually in your head. But the good news is the Lord's given a way to get them out of your head, because we can invite the Holy Spirit to take us back into that area, into that damaging innocent incident. Let the Lord comfort us, strengthen us, and to forgive the person that hurt us, giving them to him. And that's why forgiveness is one of the most powerful spiritual forces for us. It's extremely powerful. It's so powerful that Jesus made a specific point, and he told the apostles, this is how you can pray for your father. And we know it as the Lord's Prayer, amen? And he says, yeah, and through that, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And he went farther, and he really emphasized, he said, now listen, if you don't forgive someone who sinned against you, your father, you're not going to experience Father's love. You're not going to experience the enormous power and love that God is just yearning to pour out, because you're trapped in that toxic site of hurt in your mind. You're still holding on. It's like you've turned away from him, and this love is pouring down. And so forgiveness is something that Jesus really emphasized for us, because he wants us to be free. And like James said, to know who we are, secure in that, and not be trapped in that false image, that false identity of not knowing who we are. Because the damage a lot of us has got as children, which carried on through and perhaps through broken marriages and problems down life's trail, has instilled in us words and things that made us feel extremely bad about ourselves. And we've carried those. And it's hurt us. And God wants us to be free of that. And he emphasizes this forgiveness continue. And we sometimes think, well, we can't forgive. If we forgive someone, I give up the right to justice. But you're not. You're giving the justice to God. Amen? Isn't he the God of justice? Isn't he the just one? I remember getting a picture of that one time, and I was really mad at this guy, and the Lord gave me a picture, and I was sitting on his throne seat, and it was dinky little guy in this great big seat, and all I heard was, George, get out of my seat. I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, Lord. I give this person back to you, you know, but it's true. We don't realize that when we're trying to judge someone else, we actually are sitting in his judgment seat. But how can he dispense justice if we're trying to do it in our power? Amen? So we want to give that to him. And basically, when we do that and we start praying for that person, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to begin to transform their life. You know, I found it doesn't matter how mad I am at someone and rail about them, I can never change them. Do you ever notice that? You know, you try your best, but the madder I get, they haven't changed one bit. In fact, they could care less. But the reality is, if you give it to the Lord, he begins to change him. And that's why the Lord said, bless your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Because the Holy Spirit is like a fire. It's like putting hot coals on their head. Because the fire of God can change them. And you, as you start doing that, you'll transform them. And you'll begin to walk into a deeper walk with the Lord. And I remember having that experience myself. I never had a good relationship with my dad, as a lot of guys have had. But anyway, we didn't get along, and I had no use for him. Hate to say it, but it was true. And through life, you know, finally I was driving along one day, and I was pondering this question, do we forgive because we've been forgiven, or do we forgive in order to be forgiven? And I was asking the Lord that, and as I did, I suddenly came to me about my dad. And I thought, I had 1,000 reasons to not like him, but he's my dad. And it just suddenly broke, and I said, Lord, I forgive you, Dad. You know, I just released. It was just like a sudden release. I just said, you know, I forgive that abuse and things that you did. And I just gave it all back to the Lord. I thought it was like spontaneously. I was tired of carrying this burden continually. And then it was the most incredible scene. I saw this scene of this meadow. And there was Father God. I know we never see Father God, but anyway, he was there. And I went up to him, and he hugged me. And it was the most incredible joy that I ever felt, was the Father's love, Father God's love. And I realized, after he began to show me, that I'd been blocking that love from him because of my anger and unforgiveness to my earthly dad. And he began to reveal to me that basically letting go of that hatred and anger, giving it over to the Lord, suddenly opens the whole conduit up to experience the true love and tenderness of God. You know, many of us know about God, but we've never felt the love of God. And it was real experience for me that has never stopped. You know, as we go through life, we continually do that. But really, the reality, when we're holding unforgiveness, those toxic sites that Dr. Leaf talked about in the brain remain there. And when we reflect on that person, they do their poison. But if we can give that to the Lord, give that person to the Lord for healing, if we can release ourselves in prayer from that incident, if we can allow the comfort of God to heal the pain, because generally when we're hurt, we're pain. And most of our anger comes out of pain. Almost all anger comes out of pain. We're reacting. And when we allow that love to come in, it's the love of Jesus starts melting that thorn bush, and most excitingly, transforms it back to a normal tree. Not that the memory's gone, but the damage from the memory is gone. Amen? So the memory's still there, but it no longer can impact you. You're free. You don't have to be trapped by that. and it releases you. And that's what the Lord was saying to the church in Ephesus. He said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as the Lord forgave you. But one of the most damaging effects we found in prayer ministry of forgiveness or unforgiveness is not forgiving ourselves. I don't know how many times we've heard folks say, well, I can forgive, but I can never forgive myself for what I did. And basically, as that happens, we go through life so ashamed at ourselves that we continually are beating up on ourselves. And every time we do that, those thorn bushes get stimulated again as we get angry at ourselves. You know, we tend to get most angry at ourselves. I would say most Christians get more angry at themselves than they get at someone else. And they're compassionate and gentle and forgiving for someone else, but when it comes to them, they're held to a higher standard, it seems. But there's one thing we've got to really reflect, and that is that we don't own ourselves. You don't even belong to yourself. Do you know that? This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So you don't even own yourself. So if you're beating up on yourself, you're beating up God's servant. That's not very good. God doesn't like that. We don't have the right to abuse ourselves any more than we have a right to abuse someone else. And in a peculiar way, if we're not forgiving ourselves, it's like we're saying, the punishment Jesus got at the cross was not sufficient for my sin. That's a sobering thought. If any of you guys ever watched The Passion of Christ and saw what he went through, do you think that was sufficient to pay for your misdemeanor? And, you know, in the Middle Ages, remember when they had the Black Plague, there were lines of people walking along the street, whipping their back, doing penance for the sin, to get God to take away the sickness. The cross did it all. It made us new creations in Christ. It transformed us. We're no longer carrying the guilt and shame. It brought the forgiveness of God that Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they don't even know what they're doing. And it basically, as he said that, then the love of God started flowing. And many times in the healing, in inner healing, is loving yourself. Accepting your true identity in Christ. Accepting you're the top and not the bottom. Accepting you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Accepting that you're loved. Accepting that when you look in the mirror, you know who you are. And nothing you do will change that. Do you know that? Nothing you do will change who you are in Christ. But if you do the wrong things, you're going to get hurt by them. Because don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. The man who sows to please the sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. From the sinful nature, you'll reap destruction. But God's love will never cease. So you never have to think God's taking you to the woodshed. Amen? We get the wrong image of God. That's the true identity of who we are in Christ. God wants us to be whole and secure. You know, one of the greatest things, you just had kids club, but kids that are brought up in a safe environment are confident. You notice that? They're confident. They're secure. They're happy. You watch little toddlers, what are they doing? They're almost always dancing. They dance around all over the place. That's the way the Lord wants us to be. He doesn't want us to be down like this, whipping us on the back. He wants us to accept who we are, the righteousness of God in Christ, loved by Him, blessed by Him, empowered by Him. And He wants us to share that good news with a very broken world that is grasping for identity. One of the biggest problems we have in our society, no one knows who they are. But we know who we are. Amen? We know who we are. And as we do that, we can let that love, because the great commandment of God was, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And it's the love that melts the thorn bushes and turns them back to blossoms. And, you know, I really anchors everything that Jesus said about His ministry, because when He started His ministry, as he quoted the prophet Isaiah, and He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to give good news to the poor. He sent me to bring release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for them who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. And He goes on and said, they'll even rebuild the ancient ruins. They'll stand for their families, and they'll change their whole family structure, and they'll start something new. And I really pray that today, if the Lord's been touching you, that there's an area that you need to release someone to the Lord in forgiveness, that you take this opportunity this morning and get rid of that damage zone. Give it to the Lord. You don't need it. It's interesting, Dr. Leaf was saying, in the imagery, it took 21 days for the total transformation to occur. And it's really interesting, although deliverance is immediate, we need to feed our spirit with the truth of God's love as we carry on. Every day, feeding our spirit with what's good and right and true. And we found that it's interesting, science is finally catching up to the Lord, that in wholeness to Christ, we've always had it for about 3 weeks after ministry time to keep reading the Bible, stay in fellowship, worship the Lord, read His truths, and identify specific scriptures that speak to you to build you up, which you can personalize, where you could say, Eric, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. In other words, put your name instead of you. Make it your name. And you'll find, when you look in the mirror in the future, you'll know who you are, and you won't forget it. So I'm just going to lead you in a prayer to give you the opportunity to forgive. And I'd just like to give you a chance to reflect on someone that you know has been bothering you, been thinking about, talking about, reflecting about. And we'll just take it to the cross together, because the Lord is mighty to save, and He's here. So let's just close our eyes and just reflect on the Lord. So, Father, we pray now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as You touch our heart, we just want to reflect on that person that we've had difficulty with, that's caused us pain and grief and anguish. how they hurt us and demeaned us. And Father, we want to be free of them. We don't want to carry them any longer in our heart, in our mind. So, Father, now in the mighty name of Jesus, we give that person over to you for justice. We give them over to you. And Lord, we take your mighty word that it says it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And stand firm and don't let yourself be burdened again by yoke of slavery. We cut the bondage to that person that have tied us to them. We pray a release from any curse, hex, or spell that came from them to us. We pray a total release. And Lord, we just place the cross of Jesus Christ between us and them. And Lord God, we choose to forgive them. We give them totally to you now. And now, Lord, we choose to forgive ourselves. We're sorry that we were still angry at ourselves. And we thank you that you paid the price for what we did. So, Lord, now we choose to forgive ourselves in Jesus' name. And pray, Lord, you fill that area of anger with love and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. And you'll find that the Lord may bring others to mind, and you just take it to him. The Lord wants us to continually be free and not be trapped by others, by their brokenness, or by life's experiences, and to walk in the truth and the freedom that he's given us, which James said, when we look in the mirror, we see the reflection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's why you're number one. We love you all. God bless.